This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey everyone and welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz with an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. Today our topic is planning for the new year. So if you're listening to this at the beginning of the year or as you're planning your homeschooling, I'm sure that this information will be helpful because I've kind of perfected this method as the years have gone by. This is episode 248, and you can find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. So I want to welcome you to the show. If you haven't visited Vintage Homeschool Moms before, I'm happy to have you. And I have, obviously, hundreds of episodes that you can listen to on the website or on your smartphone, or you can download it on your computer and listen to it another time. So there are also great episodes on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network that you can hear from many other podcasters on this network. And a great way to thank us for these free podcasts is to share this podcast with your friends. There are social media share buttons on the website, as well as just letting them know about this show. I want to thank my sponsor, Media Angels, and the Media Angels membership website. You can find some great offers on that website that are available and for a fraction of the cost. You can download them to your computer and use them with your family. Well, there are four things I want to talk to you about, and I call this the four square planning. And the reason I call it four square is because I make a grid, four squares to be exact, and I put topics in each one. I am giving away a homeschool planner. So if you're listening to this years later, you can email me at felice@mediaangels.com and I'll get you that planner. If you are a member of our email list, you can receive it for free. So go to ultimateradioshow.com/bonus and you'll get the code to put in. It changes every month, so I can't really give it to you on this podcast, especially if you're listening to it months later. But we hope to leave it up for the year because it will be really helpful for you. And these are forms that I've used in my own homeschooling through the years. They're actually checkoff lists I've used with my kids that would list their subjects. And you can make a grid similar to that and have them fill it in. And I'm going to go through each of these things. In the planner that I'm giving away, there are copies of what I'm talking about today. And I'll also have a sample on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. You can go to podcast 248, Planning the New Year, and there you'll find it in the show notes. So what are the four parts that I'm talking about? Well, the first is faith, the second is kids, the third is school, and the last is homeschool. And every year, or whenever you take the time to plan, we often think of what we want to do and what we want to accomplish. And most of the time, we have a letdown feeling because when we look at the list, we feel like it's insurmountable, don't we? So for this idea of planning for the new year, I wanted to bring you this method that has helped me by putting these four things on one piece of paper. It really helps me to look at it kind of like a year at a glance and figure out exactly what I want to focus on in each of these areas. So the first area is faith, and I'm talking about our own faith, ladies. here I'm talking about, you know, how am I going to increase my faith this year? So the first thing is to pray daily. You know, what does that look like for you? If you have little ones, you're not going to be able to just hole up in your room, or if you have a, you know, a chair where you like to sit and pray, you're not going to be able to do that because you're going to have little ones coming in and interrupting, or you'd have to get up very early to do that. And it really depends on how important that is to you. You know, for me, when I did take the time to pray each day, and even if my little ones came in, I would have some activity that they could do or go, you know, have breakfast or something as they got a little bit older. And they'd peek into my room, and if they would see me with my Bible on my lap, they knew to give Mom that time. And I even heard them sharing with Dad one time, you know what, Daddy, if we let Mom pray, she's much nicer all day. So they caught on very quickly. And a lot of you, you know, may even use that time to encourage your own kids, you know, to make that their prayer time. Now, we always started our homeschooling with prayer, so we covered it there, and we also had Bible time with our homeschool. But if you don't incorporate that in your schooling, you know, you may want to encourage the kids, especially as they get older. You know, my daughter's in college now, and it makes me very happy when I go into her room and I see that her, you know, she's brought back from school her daily reading, you know, during breaks when she was here for Thanksgiving. I mean, she travels with it, and I love it because I know that, you know, she spends time journaling and also, you know, praying daily. And that's so important. You know, the second is Bible reading. You know, are you going to maybe do a new study? Are you going to, you know, try to read through Proverbs? Is there something that you want to, you know, purpose to do and to plan? Another is something that the Lord impressed upon me many years ago, and you could incorporate this into your daily prayer, and that is time to listen to God. I feel that much of what I do, I want to be directed by the Lord, because if I try to do things under my own steam, it typically does not work out. For example, the name Vintage Homeschool Moms, I bought that .com years ago with the thought that I was going to talk to three of my really good friends that I'm still really good friends with and do a blog called Vintage Homeschool Moms and just share some homeschool wisdom. Well, we were all so busy with our businesses and, you know, things that we were doing in our lives that we really didn't have time to start another blog. And so I just sat on that, you know, that I renewed it each year. And that was about 4 years before I started my podcast, which is now, as I'm recording this, I'm going to be going into by the end of this new year, at the end of 2018, it will be 5 years. So, you know, I owned this .com for 9 years almost. And it's amazing to me that, you know, I felt as I was praying, you know, about something to do that the name Vintage Homeschool Moms came to me and I purchased it yet not knowing what I was going to use it for. And here I am using it for a podcast. So listening to the Lord, you know, and how the Lord directs us, it may be an answer to something you've been mulling over with your kids or your family or even something personal. And moms, I want you to be encouraged to take time for you. It's very difficult because many of us homeschool moms are unselfish. And so it's difficult to put yourself first. Recently, I gifted a friend who ended up using the gift for her children. And, you know, it's just difficult to spend money on ourselves or, you know, to use something for ourselves because we're so kind of geared to be selfless, right? So it's important to take that time to listen to the Lord and, you know, to be selfish a little bit in a good way. And that is, you know, focusing on what the Lord wants for you. And I also host another podcast, which is A Few Minutes with God podcast. And that is over on our sister network at the Ultimate Christian Podcast Network, and you may want to check that out. The second square has the word kids at the top, and the subcategories are goals, spiritual and character, specific academic goals, and chores. And so this kind of rotates a little bit. My goals for my children, of course, change every year. But even though I have some, you know, kids in college now, I still have goals that I have for them. So whether or not they're working toward it, as, you know, we would if they were homeschooled, I would still pray for them toward that end. So, so your goals for your children, you know, could be something that is, you know, maybe something that they're having difficulty with. For example, if it's, you know, a language that they're learning, the goal may be, you know, to be able to speak somewhat fluently in Spanish, if you're learning Spanish. Or a goal could be to not lose your math book for the year, or the goal, don't even get me started on that one. Or the goal might be to, you know, fix your bed before you leave your room. I mean, that's something that my son told me recently that he does every morning, and it gives him a sense of accomplishment. And it was so funny because I read somewhere recently that successful people accomplish something like that, like fixing your bed in the morning, because it makes it look like you've accomplished something. And that's a really simple and visual sign, right? You know, that you've accomplished something. So what about for your kids for spiritual or character? Okay, so a spiritual could be that you're going to encourage them to read the Bible every day, or you're going to work through a study. Like we did an Old Testament study one year, and then another year we did a New Testament study. So that would be under, you know, our goals. Another would be character qualities. And my husband and I, I loved doing this. So in August of every school year, my husband and I would go out for dinner, and we would discuss, you know, what area we wanted to see our children work towards. So whether it was, you know, being less selfish, or whether it was, you know, thinking of others, which goes along with the opposite of selfish. But, you know, or maybe it was patience or perseverance or whatever those things were. And, you know, sometimes I'd bring a list to kind of jog our memories, and we would work through that and kind of think about, you know, our children and what we wanted to encourage them toward. And then we would have a list of how we were going to do that. And oftentimes we didn't tell our children. We would just ask them, what are some areas do you think you need to work on? And, you know, we'd have the, you know, child, I'm sure you might have one like this, who doesn't really think they need to work toward anything, right? And so we would ask, well, do you want us to help you? And of course, the answer would be no, Mom, you know, I can work on it myself. And they'd come to us with something very similar to maybe, you know, something my husband and I had picked out. And then in January of every year, my husband and I would go out to dinner, and we would look at that list and either tweak it if we feel like our child had accomplished that, or we would, you know, say, okay, you know, these things that maybe we're working toward, you know, maybe some of their chores are being geared, you know, to this character issue, or, you know, whatever our list of things were to help them toward that goal, if it wasn't being accomplished, we would kind of take a back seat and look at it and say, okay, what do we need to do differently? And then the last was assigning our child some chores. And those chores, again, typically would match some of their character growth qualities that we wanted to encourage. And they also were something that we asked our children, you know, let's put it all on the table, and let's talk about all the things that we need to do for the year. You know, for like some big projects that we were going to do. Like one year, we actually resodded our whole front yard because we lived in an area that would flood at some points of the year, not all the way to the house, but around our house. And so one year we brought in a bunch of fill and we were going to be sodding the yard, but we were going to do it right before the rainy season started. So we did it around Mother's Day. So, you know, we had some things geared toward, you know, let's start learning about some landscaping that went into the homeschool area. But we also, you know, talked about some different chores that the kids could do, whether it was weeding or whether it was, you know, inside chores like dishwasher, you know, washing dishes or floors and things like that. And for many years, you know, I would assign different chores, and sometimes you have children who don't like those chores. So one year we sat down and we said, okay, here's all the things that we think are going to be on our list. You know, of course, we're going to add to this. And what are some things you would like to do? And I was shocked that, you know, one of my sons loved emptying the dishwasher. That was something he liked doing, and the rest of the kids did not. One of the things that we had to do every day was to pick up our living room, our family room, dining area, and our kitchen are all one big room. And then there were the stairs, and our home school was upstairs. So often the stairs were the place where we put things for when the next time we went upstairs, and invariably things were left on the stairs. And so, you know, we had someone who would go around and pick up everything. If there were things left on the stairs, they would bring them upstairs. They would, you know, straighten up, pick up, you know, any papers that were loose or whatever it was. And that worked out really well. You know, and my other son liked to mow the lawn, so he got to mow the lawn. So there were just different things like that. And it made stuff go, our home go so much more smoothly, especially as the kids got older and kind of grew into their jobs and things that they like to do. We're going to take a really quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to cover homeschooling and household. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, Felice Gerwitz here. And I want to share with you something that is dear to my heart, and that is saving you money. Can you use encouragement for your homeschool journey? Have you been searching for an online learning program designed to ground your family in a Christian worldview? Well, now you can at MediaAngelsMembership.com. Our affordable membership packages fit your budget and busy life. Now you can access customized membership packages for your homeschooling family from the extensive Media Angels library of books, classes, and Bible studies. You may select the ebook bundle, the creation bundle, the premium bundle, or the forever bundle. Each bundled set will save you vast amounts of money. Our packages begin at less than $10, and you can use it for the whole family. So go to MediaAngelsMembership.com for more information. That's MediaAngelsMembership.com. You'll be glad you did. Hey everyone, and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. This is episode 248, and you can find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. I also have a form for you, and that is a sample of the four square planning. You can also get the 2018 planner. So if you're listening to this years later, it may not be available, but if you are a member of our email list, which you can find at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, you will get these freebies and printables from me. So today we've talked about faith and kids, and now we're going to talk about homeschooling. So again, this is your four square planning, and I would put down, you know, under one of the squares, or what are the subjects that you're going to teach every week? So this could be, you know, reading, math, writing, spelling, or it could be, you know, reading, math, writing, spelling, history, and science, or you could add a language. So that, in a glance, would be the subjects that you would be working on for your school year. Another area would be specific. So like, what books do you want to read that year? What are some of the writing assignments? And it was funny because as I was cleaning through some files, looking for some forms to add to this planner, I found my daughter's reading list. And so she was reminiscing with me about some of these great books that she read. And so, you know, it's like The Old Man and the Sea and some like that. So, you know, she read her the series of Anna Green Gables that she dearly loves. And so that was a fun time for her. So you could add some, you know, books that you would like to read. I have some podcasts on vintage homeschool moms. A quick aside, at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, there is a search feature. It's on the right-hand side. It's a sidebar, and it says search, and you can search for any topic to see if we have a podcast for you on that topic. And I did a podcast with Meredith Curtis, who has this amazing list of books that she recommends for your homeschool in different subject areas and in reading. So we did two podcasts on the topic, and it is phenomenal. And I'll try to remember to put links in the show notes, but if I don't, use that search feature. Another is writing assignments. What are the writing assignments that you're going to do each year? Now, my second oldest child, who's now a homeschool mommy of her own, she used to say to me, "Mom, you don't want me to write this paper because if I did, you're going to have to take all this time and grade it and everything." And she'd always try to talk me out of it. So she was my only child that I contracted for a grade with because she was very competitive. And I knew if I gave her a choice of an A, B, or C, she'd always choose the A. She graduated from college in 3 years, magnum cum laude. And, you know, there was a prize at the end, a diploma. But, you know, she really was one who gave me a hard time about that. But with the other kids, they basically knew, you know, at a glance, this is what you're going to be working with this year. I want four papers. Two are going to be of your choice. One will be a fiction, and the other is going to be a historic topic or a science topic. Also, projects. 1 year we worked on art projects. 1 year we did, you know, history dioramas. 1 year my son wanted to have his little army guys and set up a mock battlefield. So he did that. Projects can also be science projects or history projects. And we did that as well. So if we know what we're going to be working on, a little aside here, I have a podcast on science fair projects. You know, obviously podcast 248 I'm on now. I almost have a podcast on every topic. But with science fair projects, that's something you really should work on during the summer. You actually can't start your project, but you can do a lot of research and know the minute you're allowed to begin that project in the new school year, and it has to be a calendar year, that you'll have some research done and understand, you know, what your project is about, and that will save you a ton of time. Another is special events or field trips. Like, for example, this year we had a wedding to go to, and not all of our family was going out of state for this wedding, so we had to make plans for that. We had some field trips lined up. So those are some things you want to have listed out, and that way you can plan it. And then we had our checkoff list that we filled out daily, and then that was something that I worked on and then gave the children. And then, for example, let's say we were doing working on science fair projects. Well, that ended whenever our science fair, usually the end of November, beginning of December, sometimes before Thanksgiving. And then if the children did place in the regional fair, then that would be in January and onward. So we had some of the research and things were part of our checkoff list daily, or if my kids played sports, that was part of the checkoff list, because we had to set aside time to do these things. And if it wasn't on the list, it wasn't going to get done. And the last thing is household, my least favorite thing, can you tell? So everything from the weekly menu to grocery shopping to a cleaning schedule to errands to washing, folding, the clothes schedule. I tried all kinds of different things. And again, yes, I have a podcast on, you know, getting organized and things like that. But what I will tell you, the biggest thing that bogged me down were those weekly menus. So if I knew what we were going to have each day for dinner, my day just went so much better. And so I worked on that a month ahead of time. And then one of the things that has been invaluable to me is cooking two or three times the recipe and freezing the food. So for example, I'll use the Instapot or the pressure cooker, as we call it, and I will cook two whole chickens in that. You know, sometimes I do have to cut them up to get them to fit. And then I will use some of it for chicken soup. I will make, barbecue chicken, and I'll make some chicken and gravy with biscuits. Or I'll make pot pies, and I can make quite a few pot pies with that. And I'll have everything, the gravy, everything done. And then I will put them in freezer bags, and I lay them flat on a cookie sheet, and then I can stack them in the freezer. So all I have to do is make a pie crust, put in the pot pie mixture, and bake it that evening, which is and add a salad and some biscuits, and that's ready to go. I used to make a lot of my own mixes. I still make stuff from scratch, but I don't make the mixes as much because I have a lot more time now. But I loved making biscuit mix and just a muffin mix, and that I could just pull out and add some ingredients, and I knew what was in it because it was fresh and it was organic, and I could add fresh blueberries. So all of that worked out really, really well. Whatever is the one thing that bogs you down, make sure that you have a plan for that. Washing clothes was never a problem. It was the folding and putting away. So I would use the time when I would read to the children after lunch, if we were reading a book together as a family for school, even if I was reading a science lesson or something like that, unless they had to take notes, the children could help me fold clothes. I am not a perfectionist, and some of you listening right now are probably going, oh my gosh, I couldn't do that. But if you can, it saves a ton of time. Your kids will be happy, you'll be happy, and you can get it done. And then once the lesson's finished, everybody picks up their clothes and puts it away in their room, in their drawers, and that works great. Also, allowing your children to do their own laundry is fabulous. My daughters, one has gone away to school, one went to school locally, and all have learned to do their own laundry, and they say, that their friends don't even do their laundry. So whether you're at home or you are, getting your kids ready to go to school or just ready for life, it's important that even the boys know how to fold clothes and put them away, because their spouse someday will be very happy for that. Well, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this episode of planning for a new year, no matter when that new year is, and taking the time to plan out the things that are the items that bog you down. Again, you can find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, episode 248. Planning for the new year. Take care. God bless, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.